Blog Talk Radio.
One of the most difficult things to do is find yourself in a storm. And while in that storm, it seems like everyone who you thought you could count on has walked away. And sometimes it seems like even God himself has forgotten about you. But in spite of that, to still be able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you.
Trying to convince you that there's no way you can make it out, and he says you're not going to be able to get out of this situation. But I wish somebody would make the devil out of a lie right now and lift your hands and say, God, I will trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to show up, but God, I know you're going to do it. God, I know you're going to bring me out. Come on, if that's you, come on, lift your voice and say, I will. Oh, that's right, I'll trust you. Hallelujah. Oh God, I don't know when the pains go in, but I know, God, you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. So I trust you in spite of what I see, in spite of what I'm going through. I trust you. God, you've never left me. I know you love me. That's why I trust you. Come on, why you take it up? I had my heart broken.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God will make a way. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Hallelujah. We have to know that if we trust in the Lord with everything in us, then everything really is going to be all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm just blessed to be here. I want to apologize. To apologize to all of my listeners out there, especially Jay Strickland in the chat room. She says, hey, Pastor Rebecca, I missed you on yesterday. I missed my own show. How about that? I missed my own show, Woman to Woman. I had a show scheduled for yesterday at noon. Tina Michelle was here, but she couldn't get in because I had the key to unlock the switchboard. Prophetess was not, because I saw her in church on Wednesday, and I let her know that I was not going to be here. But I did not let all of you know, because I was supposed to cancel this broadcast and blog, that I could not make it. I had a funeral. Amen. I actually had to facilitate a funeral on yesterday, a funeral service on yesterday at noon. I was asked to do the funeral service, and I did not cancel the broadcast as I was supposed to. So I am so sorry. Please, please accept my apologies. Amen. And it's Friday. I don't know if my co-hosts will be able to call in. They're not here yet. They are not here yet. I know one of the reasons is probably because it is snowing here in New Jersey, and Prophetess may be snowed in or snowed out. It is snowing in New Jersey. There's a lot of snow on the ground, on the grass here, and our kids did not have school, so we are snowed in. We are snowed in on today, and Tina Michelle is very busy. Very busy, so I don't know if she will make it today, but I'm here, and you are here, so I count on some of you all out there to call in, and be my co-host on today, to call in as we move forward with some of the topics that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I'm not usually here on Fridays. Fridays is not the day that we do any broadcast. We are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So Friday is an odd day for me. But next week on Thursday is Christmas, and we will not be on the air on Christmas Day. We will be on that Friday. And then the following week is New Year's Day, and we will not be on the air on New Year's Day. So we will be airing on Friday. Amen. So look for the schedule to change for the next 2 weeks. But I had to come today just to tell you that I was sorry about yesterday. Amen. That I did not make it here. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Jay Strickland says she's having problems hearing. For those of you who are having problems hearing, you can go ahead and refresh your keyboard, refresh your computer. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Hallelujah. So I played that song earlier today, I'll Trust You. I'll Trust You. And we have to get to the point where we will trust God. And I wanted to talk to you all. I was praying for my co-hosts to be here. I was hoping that they would be here on today, but it looks like they're not going to make it, because I wanted to talk about trusting God, and I wanted to talk about fear and how fear holds so many of us back from fulfilling the purpose that God has for us. And Jay Strickland, you're listening via the phone now. I just want you to know that I was apologizing because I didn't make it to my own show yesterday. I had a funeral to do. I had to facilitate over a funeral service on yesterday and preach the eulogy, and I knew it in advance, a few days in advance, but I forgot in preparing to do the funeral. I totally forgot to let everybody know that I wasn't going to be here. So, amen. And it was a powerful, powerful service. The woman was 90 years old. She was 90 years old, and she was a saint. She was an old saint, and it gave me great pleasure to speak words at her funeral. It gave me great pleasure to facilitate her funeral, knowing that she had trusted in the Lord. That's why I opened with that song today, I'll Trust You, knowing that she had trusted in the Lord. And as I was preparing to go on yesterday, the Lord spoke to me, and right through the scripture. Have you ever read your Bible and had God speak to you right through the scriptures? Hello, Janice, peace in your pods. I want to know if you can hear. Just type yay or nay if you can hear, or if you can't hear, to let me know if I'm coming through loudly and clearly out there in internet radio land. But have you ever been reading your Bible, and I know you have, and had the Lord speak to you directly through those scriptures? It's amazing. It is amazing how God speaks to us through the Word. That's why it's very important to spend time in the Word of God. I was reading the book of Acts. I'm reading the Bible again. I make sure that I read through the Bible on a regular basis. And Jay Strickland says, yes, yes, she has had the Lord speak to her directly. And I was reading the book of Acts, and I was in the book of Acts in the 18th chapter, verse 9, where God says, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. You know, so often when it comes time to speak in public, or when it comes time to give our testimony, or even to minister a Bible study, or to preach a sermon, we get very nervous. There's a butterfly feeling that comes in our bellies, and then my throat, I don't know about you, but my throat gets dry, and then my heart begins to beat faster. And no matter how long I've been doing this, because I've been speaking in front of people since 2003, so no matter how long I've been doing this, I always find myself fighting feelings of fear and intimidation. But the Lord is so powerful, because he always finds a way to encourage us. And as I was going to do this funeral on yesterday, and I was reading the book of Acts, and I always take time to read the Bible on a daily basis, and I was reading the book of Acts, and the scripture popped out. I mean, that's the scripture that I read. It was like, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And that's the word for so many of us on today, be not afraid. Just those three words, be not afraid, be not afraid. For me, though, it even carried more weight, because it was talking about speaking in front of people. I had to do this whole funeral service, and it was only my third one. And it says, but speak and hold not thy peace. And it was just so powerful. And then God reassured me in that scripture that he was with me. So read your Bibles. That's what I'm saying, because when you read your Bible, you can hear from God. You can hear from God, because in that verse 10, he says, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. God said, I got your back. I'm with you. And not only that, but I have people that are going to be around you that will have your back as well. So it's a wonderful reassurance that we get through the Word of God. Pastor Emily taught on Wednesday about how to hear from God. And one of the things he said is that we have to hear through the scriptures. I want to welcome Eric to the chat room. God bless you. And Jay Strickland is saying that she had a pastor that told her that God would not speak to her, and that he could pray curses over her, and that God would hear his prayers over mine, Jesus. You know, I wonder why, Jay Strickland, I wonder why I don't even have to wonder why, because I know why. But it's amazing that people like this, pastor of yours that you're talking about, find themselves in ministry. It's like Jesus talked about the fact that if you're not against me, you're with me. But he also said, if you're not with me, you're against me. And when we start doing stuff opposite of God's word and speaking stuff opposite of God's word, then we are against Jesus. We are against Jesus. And I don't know who this pastor is, but I want to say that this pastor did not know God personally, and he did not. He searched the scriptures to find evidence of God, but he still had not had that experience with God so that the scriptures could become enlightened for him, illuminated for him, so that he could know the truth. Because the Bible says that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. What he was telling you was a lie. I'll just say it was a lie. No man can curse what God has blessed, and we know that through the scriptures. And God is no respecter of persons. That's right, Jay Strickland. God is no respecter of persons. And he hears your prayers as well as he hears your pastor's prayers, as well as he hears my prayers, as well as he hears the apostles' prayers, as well as he hears their prophets' prayers. God hears the prayers of each and every person that is called by his name. See, what we have to realize is that Jesus ripped away the veil. And the veil has been ripped, it has been torn, and we no longer need a priest to go into the holiest of holies because we have access to go in our own selves. And it does not mean that we don't need a pastor, it does not mean that we don't need a preacher, because the Bible was clear that how can they hear without a preacher? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and how can they hear without a preacher? And also the Bible is clear that the fivefold ministry gifts have been given for the edification and the maturing of the church, you know, that we could bring the church into fullness of everything that God has ordained the church to be. So we have to be sure. That's why you have to search the scriptures for yourself and pray, and then after you pray, listen and hear what God is saying back to you. Because so often we pray to God, but we don't wait to hear what God wants to say back. So we pray, we get on our knees. Have you ever done this? You get on your knees and you pray. And then after you finish praying, you jump up and you go about your business. And God is like, wait a minute. He's probably like, wait a minute. I want to speak. But you go ahead and you call such and such, or you make breakfast, or you jump in the shower, or whatever it is, and get busy thinking about your day. I want to suggest that after you pray, that you stop and you wait and you see what God has to say, because as you talk to him, he wants to talk back to you. When we go into a spirit of prayer, when we go into a position of opening ourselves up to begin to communicate with God, we have to remember that communication is a two-way street, that just as we're talking to God, God wants to talk back to us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about that, and I can't say enough, Jay Strickland, that we have to be very careful about who we're sitting up on under. I love that you said I had a pastor. I know you're on the line. If you can talk, I'll put you on the air. Amen. But I know that you said you had a pastor, and I'm so glad that you said had, because that sounds to me like you moved on, and that was the right thing to do. I hear about people being abused in churches, and it just blows my mind. Listen, if you got to go to church, if you have to go to church and sit there in fear and trembling, thinking that your pastor is going to say something to you directly across the pulpit and abuse and humiliate you and preach your business that you have confided in a private counseling session, then you're in the wrong church. I just have to say it like that, because that's spiritual abuse. And we cannot allow ourselves to be abused. God did nowhere in the Word of God does it tell us to stay in the church where we're being abused. And you might say, well, nowhere does it tell us to leave. But in many places, for instance, the Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling together of ourselves, that we should come together to exhort and encourage each other. But if that's not happening in the place that you go to come together, then you're in the wrong place. You're really not having church. Church should be a place where you can worship God. The Psalms 150 tells us to worship the Lord, to praise him in the sanctuary. I believe it's Psalm 150. But we go there to worship God. We go there to fellowship with each other. And we go there to be fed by the pastor, the man of God, the preacher, whoever the set preacher is for that hour. Now, if that is not happening, if you have a whole bunch of other stuff going on in the house of God, and we go there for prayer, because Jesus said that my Father's house shall be the house of prayer. So if we have a whole bunch of other stuff happening at the pulpit, then we're in the wrong church. We're in the wrong church. So we have to make sure praise God in his sanctuary. That's Psalm 150, praise God in the sanctuary. We have to make sure that we're going to the right church. And as women of God, we're nurturers. So, you know, we have the whole world on our shoulders. You know, we have to nurture our husbands, our children, we have to nurture our family members, our extended family members. Everybody's pulling on us. You know, as a woman, you, for the time that you wake up and to the time that you go to bed, you have a lot of people that need a lot of stuff from you. You know, even when you get in bed as a married woman, you know that it's still not over, because you could be dead tired and your husband is still there waiting for you to minister to him. So as women, we still need to be able to go to a place, to go to a church where we can be nurtured. We need to be able to go someplace where we can be fed. So we have to make sure that we're not flinching and we're not scared that the preacher's going to say something that's going to wound our spirit. So I say that if you're suffering, somebody want to speak a curse over you, shake the dust off of your feet. And keep on moving, because it's another gospel. And the Bible says that anyone who preaches another gospel is accursed. Now, I know I'm saying the Bible says, because, look, let me tell you, I have the Word of God stored up in my heart. And so often we're scared to go forward with ministry because we don't know exactly where that scripture is. So we just don't say it, because we are so used to people saying Psalms 150, chapter 1, Psalms 150, verse 1. You know, we're so used to hearing people knowing exactly when they stand up to talk about God and they stand up to talk about the Bible. We're used to people saying exactly where it is and where you can find it. But when we read the Bible and we know Jesus quoted scripture, we know that many of the apostles quoted scripture, they never gave chapter and verse. So don't be so concerned about giving chapter and verse. Let this word be on your lips. Whether you know where to find it in the Bible or not is not that important. But the important thing is that you speak in the word. So I just wanted to drop that nugget to you, that don't be intimidated by folk who have gone to seminary and folk who have not even gone to seminary, but they have memorized the Bible. And memorizing the Bible is a good thing. Knowing where to find the scripture is a good thing, because you have some people that you will minister to that will want to see it. But when you're just having general conversation, don't feel like you have to tell somebody chapter and verse. Just tell them what the word says. Just say, you know, the Bible says, you know, Jackie McCullough, Pastor Jackie McCullough, she is anointed, and she does that beautifully. She says, and the Bible says, and I just love hearing her minister. We could get tripped up and lose some of our power, because the devil has apprehended us, made us apprehensive in our mind to say, you know what, you don't even know where it is in the Bible. But we always have a Bible concordance. We have crosswalk.com and we have gateway.com where we can go and find out where it is if we need it. And you know what? Sometimes it's good for you not to tell people exactly where it is because it encourages them to open up their Bibles and say, wow, let me see if that's in the Bible. So, again, this is Pastor Rebecca. The phone lines are open. This is not my normal day. And I know I left a lot of people hanging on yesterday because I didn't make it. I had to do a funeral, and I forgot to cancel the show. But today I'm here, and I'm talking about some things. I want to talk about fear. I want to talk about our relationships today. I want to talk about why we stay in some of our relationships. And I've already been talking about it. As talking about why we stay in some of our church relationships. I want to talk a little bit about false prophecy. So the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. This is a very casual atmosphere here on this broadcast. I know there are a lot of places where they're preaching heavy, and that's good. We need all kinds of ministry. But when you come here, me and my co-hosts who are not here because they're usually available on Thursday and not available today, but we usually just talk. We just talk, women talk, women to women. So it's women to women, and today I'll be talking to you women to women. And the phone lines are open. I want you to call in and talk to me, 646-652-4832. And I also asked Jay Strickland if she was able to talk. If you're able to talk, just type yes in the chat room, and I'll put you on the air. Let's talk about relationships for a few minutes. A man and woman relationships. For those of you who are still dating, a lot of women are still waiting for their Boaz. You know, when I was in a bigger church, everybody was 10 years ago, the whole saying was, I'm waiting on my Boaz. You know, Ruth had her Boaz, and everybody wanted a Boaz. Amen. Everybody was waiting on that kinsman redeemer to come and sweep them off of their feet. And that's what Boaz did for Ruth. He saw her. He said, wow, whose servant is that? And whose woman is that? You know, and he wanted to know more about her, and then he began to show his interest in her, and the rest is history. Amen. They were married, and they go down in the genealogy of Christ. But the thing about it is, isn't that what we all have? Not all, I guess I can't say all, but a lot of us have dreamed about the day when we would meet that Prince Charming, and he would come and sweep us off of our feet, and take us off on his horse, big white horse, our knight in shining armor. But the truth were to be told, a lot of our relationships don't look like that. A lot of our relationships don't look like that. I want you to just look at your relationship. If you're in a relationship with a guy today, with a man today, I want you just to take a look at that relationship as we go forward. And I just want to have you to just analyze, is that relationship headed towards marriage? You know, are you in a relationship with someone who has good intentions towards you? Are you looking for a man? Or are you looking for a man to be looking for you? Those are some of the questions that we ask in our singleness. I'm married. I've been married for 12 years, but I remember being on the single scene, not as a Christian woman, because my husband evangelized me, and he was the only man I've known since I've been born again. But prior to being born again, I have many relationships, too many for me to be proud of, but many relationships, and most of them were not good. You know, this is not good. I always found myself getting involved with the wrong man. Have you ever been there where you just, you know, just seem to pick the wrong man, that you seem to have a magnet that says, I'm looking for losers, tattooed, embedded within your forehead, that you just drew constantly the wrong guy and found yourself getting in. Getting in relationship with them. Jay Strickland has shouted yes. And that was my story for so many years. And I wonder why we do that. You know, why we allow ourselves to get into relationship. I don't know if anybody can call me, if you're listening, if you're streaming. I know a lot of people are streaming that are not in the chat room. But why do we allow ourselves to continually get into relationships with the wrong man? And, you know, the Bible tells us that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So another question I want to ask is it okay for us to look for a man? Is it all right for me to actually be out there looking for a man? So the first one is, why do I find myself attracted to the wrong man? And then the second question is it okay to look for a man? And then the third question is, how do I know when I found or when the right man has found me? So those are some things that I just really want to talk about a little bit. You know, one of the reasons that I found myself attracted to the wrong man constantly is because I had no self-esteem. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my value was. So I found myself constantly accepting love from the wrong places. And not only accepting love from the wrong places, but looking for love in all of the wrong places. You know, this craziness. I call it crazy love in my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living, that you'll see on the board. I call it crazy love. You know, when you know that you know that you know that he's no good for you, when you know that that man is nothing but trouble, when you know he's a bad boy, you know, and you find yourself still going full speed ahead to go into relationship with this man. Even as Christian women, we find ourselves going into sexual relationship, sometimes sexual intimate relationship with men that we know that they're not going to commit to us, or we go into sexual intimacy hoping that maybe something will happen during that encounter that we will hook the man, and now maybe he will commit to me because nobody can do him like I do him. You know, we crazy love. You know what I'm talking about? We know that the Bible tells us not to fornicate, that we shouldn't. And this is woman to woman. I mean, we're just talking woman to woman. And the Bible tells us that we shouldn't fornicate, but we find ourselves still ending up in predicaments where we have taken off our clothes and have done some things that we're ashamed of, that make us shed tears even because we're remorseful after the fact. Or we've done it so long that we no longer have any remorse. We just, one day we're going to get married and everything's going to be all right. But now it's 5, 10, 15 years later and he's still not divorced from his first wife, his wife, and he's still making empty promises and telling you how much he loves you, but yet he hasn't committed to you. I know I'm talking about somebody. I'm telling somebody's story today because, you know, it's the story of so many of us women. We want to be loved, but we often find ourselves just hooked up with the wrong joker, you know. He's somebody else's guy. You know, when I was coming up, there was a song, Somebody Else's Guy. I'm shot out over somebody else's guy or strung out over somebody else's guy. And how did I get myself into this predicament is the question that we often want to ask. And I'm talking to Christian women or women who are not even saved, but all women, because no matter what, even saved, we still find ourselves getting into some predicaments, and most of them are pertaining to our relationships. We could get everything else right. You know, I'm a tither and I go to church, but when I go home, Joe Smo is still sitting on my couch drinking beer and smoking cigarettes, and he's not my husband. I might not be talking to nobody out there, but somebody knows what I'm talking about, you know, but he has potential. He has potential. I know he was a drug dealer, and I know he can't keep a job, but I figure I could help him, and he could be my first ministry. So, you know, we find ourselves nurturing the wrong folk. And some of us just need to go home and cut it loose. We need to cut Joe Smo loose. If you're dating a man You might not even be sleeping with him. You're holding out for marriage, but he's spending time with you, taking up your time, but he's married. You know, that happens to so many women in the church where they meet a guy in the church and he's married, you know, and he tells you, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, I do have somebody that can identify. Because I know, my God, I mean, first and foremost, most of your churches are filled with women. Men are, you know, it's hard to get a man to come to church. And I can see why after what Jay Strickland shared with me earlier in the broadcast that, these preachers are preaching this nonsense across the pulpit. But we need to preach the gospel, you know. And I know I have preachers listening to me. They might not like the way that I minister. But, you know, the Lord called me to do real ministry, so forget about them. You know, I'm just going to do what the Lord called me to do. So men don't, you know, they hardly come to church or, you know, you're trying to get them to come to church. And, it seems like the only option is some man that might not yet be saved, but he seems like a good guy. Because the ugliness always comes to the surface, you know. And like I said, maybe we got saved and we were in a relationship with somebody. This has happened too. When you were in a relationship with somebody and you got saved and he never got saved. So now you're saved and you're somebody is not saved yet. And you're unequally yoked, but you're hoping that God will save him too. And you're still with him because you were living together before you got saved. So there are all kinds of scenarios there. But God wants us to be the wife. Amen. Somebody will say, I do a lot of book clubs, and I've had women tell me, well, everybody doesn't want to get married. You know, every woman does not want to get married. But every woman, I want to say, every woman who is a woman of God, who has a desire in her flesh to be intimate with a man sexually, should desire to be married. Because other than that, you're just in fornication. So if you have a desire, if you want to, and let's forget about all of that for a minute, just a minute. We can't forget it because it's the word of God and it's the truth and the truth shall make you free. But let's look at it from another aspect. Why would you keep laying down with somebody who can't commit to you, who can't honor you enough to make you his wife? I mean, why keep giving the very best part of yourself to a man? And he doesn't even have the good sense to know that you're a good thing, you know, or he's still married to somebody, or he wants more than one woman. I had a man tell me one time, I can't commit to you, you know, and then he told me that he was going to take me to Africa and I would be his first wife. And that I would help him pick out his second and third wives. And I'm like, you sound like a fool, you know, because, I mean, I might be crazy enough to give you my body, but I'm not going to share you with anybody. And, you know, some of us have to, you know, just draw the line somewhere and say, you know what, I'm not going to share for, you know, why do we have to settle for somebody else's guy? And, I mean, really, why settle for somebody else's guy? He's not your man. He's married to somebody else. He's living with somebody else. But he's making you all of these empty promises, and why? And you're believing him. Enough. Forget about it. He has no good intentions. His only intentions is to get into your most intimate part of your body. He wants to get into the secret place, and he wants to have you and her too. And maybe him too, because there was another song out back in the day, another man is beating my time. Another man is loving mine. And this was a woman singing, and this was years ago, you know, where this woman, and I'm in a disco, you know, because I haven't been saved all of my life. But I'm in the club dancing to another man is beating my time. And I'm like, well, I'm dancing to that. You know, I had to be drunk or something. But God is good. Hallelujah. God is good. He is so good because he took the taste of alcohol right out of my mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. But another man is loving mine. Caught in the middle, don't know what to do. You sound like a fool. Caught in the middle, and he got another. I'm speaking Ebonics now, but he has another man. No, you're not caught in the middle. You're not stuck. Get up out of there. Pack your bags and get to stepping. You know, I'll give this testimony. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. If you want to come on in and talk about some of the stuff that I'm just talking, woman to woman. You know, God bless you, Tridio Penn. I'm just talking. You know, we got a whole bunch of people out there on the down low. A lot of men out there on the down low, way down. How low can they go? My God, my goodness. All of these men on the down low, you know, homosexuality is one thing. You know, if you're going to do it, you know, God bless you. You know, you know, we don't do that, you know, in Christendom, you know, God doesn't like any kind of sin, fornication, homosexuality, lying, cheating, stealing, you know, but doing it on the down low, that is just so low, you know, that's way low, because now you've got a woman, you have a woman, and that woman is opening herself up to you, and you run the risk of infecting her with the AIDS virus. Let's just talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about the AIDS virus. And she never knew that you were having sex with men. So, you know, I really don't have any respect for men who feel like they have to be on the down low. You know, I mean, you want to be gay, you know, be gay out of the closet. You know, I know, and we'll, you know, pray for your deliverance. But to be gay in the closet and have other people affected, have women infected, have the babies coming through her womb infected, having babies born with AIDS, having women dying because of AIDS, and they never had any intravenous drug use, it's a shame. It's a shame. I know of our friends who have been infected because they didn't know that the man that they were with was on the down low. So once you find out, this woman that was singing this song, she knew, and she was talking about this was still her man. Oh, that's crazy, love. That's not, but I love him. How often do we say this? But I love him. But I love him. You know, he's my man, you know, or he's my husband. He never comes home. He's my husband. I know he has another woman, at least one other woman, he has her put up in a house across town, but he comes over on the weekends. He's still my husband. He's still my man, and I love him, and I'm putting up with this nonsense. Oh, no. Come on, ladies. Come on. Come on. We deserve better. You know, you deserve better, you know, than to have to put up with that nonsense. And I'm talking to women out there today, woman to woman. And you can call me if you disagree. I'm willing to talk about it. But I have been there, done that, got some T-shirts, and I am not going back to that foolishness. My husband can act like a fool if he wants to. I will kick him to the curb so quickly. And I might say this, but I will be hurt. Yes, I will be heartbroken. I will be crying and snotting and all kinds of screaming. I might want to fight. I will kick him to the curb, though, and I will say, God, I know you have something better for me, because you did not, your word does not tell me that this is supposed to be the way my life. You told me, Jesus said in John 10:10, that he came so that I might have life and have that life more abundantly. So there's no need for me to have a husband in Christendom, to be in Christendom and have a man acting like a fool. And he has no remorse. He's not repenting. He's not, you know, sorry about it. He's just blatantly, because the more you let them do it, the more they're going to do it. Did you hear what I said? the more that you let a man mistreat you, and I'm not male bashing. I love men. Before I got married, I was the biggest flirt, and I had to have a man. That I was a saved either. God knows what he's doing. When he saved me, he had to give me a man. He knew he had a plan for me. Amen. So he gave me a husband right off the bat, sent my husband to evangelize me out. We met in the bar, and we have not been separated since. We've been together ever since. But what I'm saying is when I was not saved, I have been a fool. So now that I'm saved, God never called me. He told me I got this in Isaiah. He said that the spirit of wisdom rests upon Christ. And if Christ is in me, then I possess the spirit of wisdom. So I don't have to put up with that nonsense. You want to I tell a man, and I would suggest that you tell any man in your life, if you want to act like a fool, then you do that somewhere else. You do that from a distance. I'm not talking about arguments if you're married, if you have arguments, if you're fighting all the time and stuff like that. But if he has another woman or another man, and you know about it, and he says, well, I love both of y'all. You know, I mean, have you ever heard such craziness? I know I'm not the only one that has heard this nonsense coming spewing from the mouth of mankind. But I love both of y'all. I don't know who to choose. I love her, but I love you too. Or I love him these days, but I love you too. No. Wait a minute. No. I know you love us both, but you have to make a choice. Today, you have to make a choice. And is it possible to love two people at the same time? Yes. But you have to make a choice today, because I'm not going to be no fool no more. I'm not going to be your fool. I'm not. And Pastor Rebecca really does know how to talk. I do know how to speak proper English, but when I get, you know, stirred up, I slip into the talk that I grew up with. When we grew up on the streets of Newark, we were not enunciating. We were not speaking proper English. So sometimes I revert and just break it on down, you know. But enough. Enough of this. Enough of this nonsense from these men. My God. So, okay. Why do we put up with it? Low self-esteem. I want to say to know who we are. The Bible tells us, and I'll tell you where, Psalm 139. Go ahead and check it out. Check it out. That's right, Jay Strickland. Low self-esteem. The Bible tells us that we're wonderfully and fearfully made. My God. And Jay Strickland, it's been 10 minutes. Are you still at work? Because I'll put you on the air. The Bible tells us that we're wonderfully and fearfully made. I'll take it a little further. In Genesis, the Bible tells us that God created us in his image. You know, so if God created us in his image, then that means that we, like God, are worthy of honor and respect. We're worthy to be held in high esteem. We're worthy, you know, of somebody honoring us enough to respect us. So, and that includes the men in our lives. So enough of this, ladies. Enough. Now, Pastor Rebecca has spoken enough. You know, you are better than that. You're all about in a bag of chips, you know, a Diet Coke, some Tic Tacs, and some Starburst. You know, you are all of that in a piece of Wrigley's chewing gum. You can choose spearmint or double mint or juicy fruit, whichever is your preference. Amen. You are all of that. Yes, you are. And people will tell you when you make a stand for yourself, they'll say, oh, you think you're all of that. Have you ever? You know, even your so-called friends, they'll tell you, oh, you're getting new on somebody. You think you're all of that. Or you think you all that. You know, well, yeah, you go ahead and tell them I am. I am all of that. I'm created in the image of God. I am somebody. And I'm supposed to be treated like I'm nobody anymore. So when we get there, then we can say that we have gotten to the point where we're not going to put up with the nonsense from these men anymore. And that's into a relationship. Should you be looking for love? You should be looking for love to be looking for you, yeah. Don't go through life. You know, I don't understand it. You know, if you are single, you know, people tell you, well, don't put your mind on that. Don't concentrate on that. You know, but if you want a husband, why not keep your eyes open for the one who's looking for you? So often we pray, God, send me a husband. But when he sends the husband, we're so busy not looking that we don't see it. So, yes, we should be looking for the one who's looking for us. Amen. Somebody out there is looking for you, woman of God, if you have prayed and asked God for a husband. Amen. Hallelujah. And how do you know when you find him? How do you know when he has found you? That's the question. Now, that's the doozy. Jay Strickland, hello. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm doing well.
I'm flying solo today. How am I doing?
Doing an awesome job.
Amen. Praise God. I missed my co-host today. I stood everybody up on yesterday. I had to do a funeral. It was a blessed time, but I forgot to cancel the broadcast and let one of my co-hosts know about it. So what do you think about all of this?
I think you're speaking right. I think low self-esteem is a factor in women staying in abusive relationships and relationships where men cheat on them. That's so true. Lots of times women that stay in relationships like that think that nobody else will have them, or the man will tell them nobody else wants you. So they keep what they have. And my friend's mother, she always says, well, half a man is better than none, which I disagree with because I don't want half of nothing.
Say that again.
I don't want half, but and I'm going to Ebonics. I don't want half of nothing.
Yeah, because a lot of people do say that, that half a man is better than nothing. What? I'm like you. I don't want half of nothing, you know, because half of nothing, that's a fraction. That's a piece of a man. That is, I don't want a whole man.
Yeah, I told my girlfriend that half a man could be a man with no leg and no arm.
Amen. But God is better than that for us. He really does. And how do you know when the right one has come along?
I don't know, because the right one ain't came yet, so I'm still waiting to know.
Maybe you can tell me. Amen. Well, how do you know when he's the wrong one?
Well, I married the wrong one, so I knew that was wrong.
Amen. And you know he's wrong. I mean, so often in this day of technology, a man won't give you his home phone number. He'll give you a cell phone number. That's one indication that something's wrong. If he doesn't call you during the week, but he only calls you on the weekend, that's something wrong. If he doesn't take you out but wants to call you up at night and come over, or have you come over to his place, if he never introduces you to any of his friends or his family, if he has a temper, if he snaps at you calls you out of your name, these are all indications that you just have the wrong one. If his phone is always off, if his cell phone always goes off whenever he comes around you, what's he hiding? What is he hiding? Why can't he take a call? He'll tell you, well, you're so special, I don't want to be interrupted. Or if he takes the call and it's always a woman, and oh, that's just my friend so-and-so. Or if he goes into a corner and feels like, oh, I have to take this call, and he can't, you're at dinner, and he has to leave the dinner table and take a call, then you can tell that the red flag is going up. Or how about this? You never go to dinner to sit down, but he'll drive you through the McDonald's drive-thru when you tell him that you're hungry. You know, or if he expects to go to bed with you just because he bought you dinner, you know, after all I did for you, you can't do this for me. Those are things. Or if he's a Christian and he can't respect your right to say no, that you don't want to have sex with him until you're married, you know, and he calls himself a Christian. So, and I'm talking to Christian women today, so these are signs that you know that he's not the right one. Now, listen to me. A Christian man full of the Holy Ghost is still a man, and he still has physical desires, and he may be attracted to you sexually and try to push up on you. That does not mean that he's the wrong one. It just means that he's having an off day. He's having an off day. It may mean he might be the wrong one, but if he's a good one, as Mr. Brown would say, he might push up on you, but you still, if you stand with your responsibility to say no to him and he doesn't persist, then he still might be a good one. He still might be the one. But men will try women. What I know about men is that they will try you. And most men, my husband tells me, are waiting for that woman who will say no and who will keep saying no, no matter what. Because, I mean, you're waiting for your husband. The right one comes along. He starts pushing buttons and tweaking stuff. You give in to him and go ahead and do the wild thing. Guess what? You might not get that phone call the next day or a week later, because here he is now saying, oh, God, I fell with this woman. It was my fault because I did push up on her, but she didn't say no either. And I've only known her 3 weeks. You know, I don't want her. That's not my wife. My wife is going to tell me no. And it's a double standard. It is a double standard, but it's just the way it goes. That man is really waiting for that woman that's going to tell him no, at least. And even for those who are not Christian, he still wants the one that is going to say no, at least. And it's such a double standard because they out there putting all kinds of notches on their belts, Jay Strickland, you know. But they want you to hold out at least. And I learned this in the world. I'm just telling you, I learned this in the world. They want you to hold out at least 3 months, you know. But for Christian women and for all women, I say don't give nothing up. No ringy, no dingy. You get nothing. You get nothing here until we have said I do, you know, and we have been officially married, because I'm not going to sin against my God. It's a hard stance to take, and we only have 2 minutes. What do you have to say, Jay Strickland? Amen.
I agree with you 100%, but I've heard so many men say, even Christian men say, well, you're not going to buy a car before you test drive it.
Another fool, right? You know, and that's the truth. They say that. But you know what? Your mouth is speaking so loudly, you know, that I can't see what your real intentions are, you know. And Christian men do say that, but that's not the one. He's not. If he says that to you, that is just not the one. It's like, why test drive me? You know what? Once the car is driven, often it deteriorates in value. It depreciates. See, and for a lot of women, we have to realize, how many men are going to test drive me, you know, as a Christian woman, before my husband comes along? And then my husband comes along, and I have united with so many men. We're going to pick this up next week. But when my husband comes along, I have had so many men deposit their spirits in me that I'm all messed up, because now I'm comparing him to this one of John and Rabu and Junebug, you know, and now he can't please me. Because I've, you know, been the freak of the week with so many different men that I expect him to do the things that these men did to me, and he might not be that experienced. So we got to learn together how to please each other, you know, in marriage. But we'll pick it up next week. I hate to leave y'all on such a note. You're like, oh no, it was just getting good. But we're gonna talk some more when my co-hosts come. I don't know if they're gonna be ready for this, but we're going to talk about this next week. Amen. Jay Strickland, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, Pastor Rebecca, I have a praise report to you. I can't tell you on the line, but I'll email you on Blog Talk.
Amen. Praise God. I'll be looking forward to hearing from you. Amen. God bless you. And God bless you, all of the listeners out there in Internet Radio Land. This has been Pastor Rebecca Simmons. If you came in on the end, go back and listen to the archives, because I definitely had a word for women on today where you can go ahead and look at your dating experiences and see if you're on the right track. Amen. Amen. So we'll be back on Tuesday with Flowing with the Pastors. Tune in at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time right here on blogtalkradio.com/power. Amen. And God bless you. And I will see you next week.
Let this time we're going to receive the woman of God.